Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. Today on Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, we welcome Chase Bowden and Effie Tutko, professional dancers, choreographers, and entertainers. Welcome, guys. How are you doing today?
Fantastic. It's nice seeing your beautiful face, Eli.
Yeah, we're doing great.
You're too kind. You're too kind. It's wonderful to see both of you and talk to you. I know we've been trying to work this out for several weeks, and I'm glad it finally did. Love the LA Dodger hat that Chase is wearing today. For the two fans that we have, one of them's a Giants fan, I think, so we're not going to talk about it.
That's tough.
It is. A rough life. But we love everybody, so it's all good. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about something near and dear to definitely our hearts, but kind of needs a little extra light shown on it from a healthcare perspective. As we stated earlier, you're both currently professional dancers, entertainers. And Chase, I kind of know you from way back, and Effie a lot more recently. If you can tell us a little bit about yourself. Ladies first, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I have been dancing since I was 8. I grew up in Seattle, Washington, and I started traveling down to LA to work professionally when I was 10. So have definitely been doing the thing for a minute. Once I graduated high school, I moved down to LA, and since then have gone on to do a lot of things that I feel very blessed to have done. And yeah, it's kind of just a short little snippet of me.
A quick tiny bio, which I've read your bio. It's a lot longer than that. So thank you.
Oh yeah.
And Chase, how about you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Mom owned a dance studio, grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, trained at her studio, moved to Miami, trained at a studio called Dancetown. Moved to New York for a little bit, but then when I was 18, I moved to LA, danced professionally for the last 8 years. And then as of recent, the last couple of years, started getting into choreography and choreographing for a lot of major artists and tours and TV shows, and was a featured choreographer on So You Think You Could Dance, Dancing with the Stars. Yeah, a lot of cool different things. So had a great journey along the way. And along the way, I came along this man named Eli Halleck. I was about 15, 16 years old, which is 10 years ago. So that makes me feel good.
It's been that long. I do feel old now.
It's been that long, but I'm excited to talk today and get right into it about all the things. So let's do it.
Fantastic. Thanks for the shout out for back in the day. And that's really where I want to start. You know, back in the day, I remember, and we're going to say some names from way back when, Tasha Brown, who I've known since she was young. Shout out to Tosh. Walked you over while we were sitting again. Another shout out, Jackie Slight at LA Dance Magic. What a phenomenal organization, company, and person. Jackie kind of got us together thanks to Tasha. Tasha pulled you over one day, and I'm sure you remember it. You were just a 15 or 16-year-old kid complaining about a back spasm injury, couldn't go on. What a drama queen, right, Effie? Oh, my goodness.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
And I just remember Tasha looking at you and my daughter, Madeline, shout out to Maddie, standing there saying, take care of this guy. Yep. Okay. I believe you were complaining, correct me if I'm wrong, about your low back and how things just felt weird and All you did was babble for a while. I think I said something to you. What do you remember what I said to you?
You said shut up, princess, a few times. I know that.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, that sounds.
Yeah.
And Effie, you probably agree with me on that one, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she said shut up, princess, to me a few times a day. So
yeah,
I'm
once
sure.
Today already.
So we were sitting there, and I remember vividly getting you to finally relax, calm down, and trust me. Because I'm sure at that point, a lot of parents, a lot of people in the stands coming out afterwards saying, hey, I can help you. And dancers just aren't often taken care of. You guys just suck it up and get through it, right?
Definitely.
Always.
Now,
it's the name of the game.
When you got into contact with me, just because it was a friend of a friend, and we're sitting there in that hallway or the dance convention, we sit down, I tell you, oh yeah, it's no big deal. We can do this, we can do this, and you'll feel a lot better. You looked at me like I was nuts. I remember that. But since then, we corrected the issue. We work on you every now and then. I think we've created a good bond.
Yes.
How would an athletic trainer, such as myself, how would that have helped prior to when we met? How would it have been beneficial for you to come across somebody in our profession?
Holy cow, that's night and day. Getting access to you even earlier would have helped prevent a lot of injury over time and wear and tear over time. And I think it's so crucial, especially now with the kids these days, they're doing tricks and training and all these things that we were doing when we were 18. And they're doing it at 9 years old now. It's unreal to look at and see. And I think something that's so beneficial and so important is to get these kids with the right people in the right hands and the right athletic training as soon as possible, so then they're not 25 years old having back spasms
barely walking
every week and throwing your back out every week. Or I'm just saying the back, there's a lot more to the body. It would have been so crucial and beneficial, because I feel like now I wouldn't have been in the pain that I am pretty consistently if I had that earlier access, for sure.
And I see Effie nodding up and down. What would we've only been working on you just a short amount of time.
Right.
And we've definitely made a difference on the occasions that we've worked, but how would have changed your experience in dance at a younger age?
It would have helped me learn my body and what my body needs sooner rather than later.
Mm.
So a lot of minor injuries or big injuries that had happened from being the age that I was till now, it's inevitable for your body to break down when you're dancing on concrete every weekend for these dance conventions, when you're not getting any sleep and you're going hours on end working your tail off. If I were to have known just some precautionary measures sooner from a professional, that would have gone a long way. It's the little things that would just have gone a long way. And luckily I, get to see you now and can establish that in my own life.
Well, I appreciate that part. Thank you.
Sooner would have been better.
Create more longevity too.
Yeah.
Create more longevity, because dancers' time means everything. We have a short window to be able to do what we want to do.
You don't want to shorten it.
You don't want to. Yeah, exactly.
That's a great point you bring up. Short window. And as Effie said right there, it's a short amount of time. You don't want to shorten it. And I think a lot of people don't understand that. I know I didn't. I had no clue what I was getting into when my daughter started dancing. My wife did. Shout out Patrice Halleck. When we're sitting there and I'm standing there looking at all these shoes we're buying and these outfits we're buying, as a parent who had done athletics his entire life, oh my God, what a difference. And then watching how much you practice just blows me away. Take yourself back, Effie, to when you were 10 or 12 and started doing that traveling back and forth. How many hours a week were you practicing? Not competing, just practicing.
Oh, goodness. I'd say about, because I was doing online for majority of schooling growing up, so I would say anywhere from approximately 8 hours a day. So if you times that by a session, math isn't my strong suit.
8 hours a day?
That's not so true. Like you can count to 8.
6 hours?
Right? You can count to 8. You can count to 8.
That's true.
Every dancer can.
Yeah. It was a lot.
But you weren't just doing it, like you said, school, 5 days a week. You were doing what? 6 or 7, I'm sure.
Yeah, every day. Every day for sure. There was never really off days.
Never.
Yeah.
Well, and you say it so matter of fact, and then you pause and think about it.
It sounds crazy saying it out loud.
It is, but at the moment, parents don't realize it. Dancers don't realize it because you love it, right?
You love it. You think you're invincible because you are that young age, and maybe injuries aren't building up because you are young and the bounce back is so quick.
Yeah.
But definitely within the past 5 years, I've noticed a change in how my body recovers from exercise or working out or dancing. It's definitely different than when I was 10.
Right.
Of course, I'd be like, yeah, I'm fine. I don't need that, when really, obviously, I do.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
So key.
Going back 8 hours a day, we'll round it to, we'll lie and we'll say 6 days a week, not seven. So eight times six, that's 48 hours a week.
48.
That's more than a full-time job. And unlike athletes, you don't compete every weekend or twice a week. All you're doing is practicing for maybe that one show or that one competition coming up every other month.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a lot of repetition, right?
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, there's so much that goes into it too, with all the different styles and techniques and training and switching gears, and everything's different and everything has a different effect on your body too, depending on how you execute, you know, the workout that you have. There's a lot that goes into that.
You said something really intriguing to me. As a father of two dancers and married to a former dancer, I've been educated over the last, 17 years, I guess, 17, 18 years.
Yeah.
That my daughters have been dancing. However, my sister, she's got boys. And we get some boys dancing every now and then. I mean, you're obviously one. But my sister Angela has no clue what the life of a dancer is. So I pick on my sister because I always have. And, you know, that's, I love her. But yeah, I'm going to pick on her.
Yeah.
So you said styles of dance. I get that. I know Effie completely understands that. What are the different styles that we see, especially at that youth, high school, and under? Because that's what I end up working a lot on, other than the people that I
am
in contact with. What are those styles, and what's the difference as far as what happens to your body in those styles?
We can start with the base of everything. So ballet.
Yeah.
Ballet, I mean, you have the Pittsburgh Steelers taking ballet class every week. The Jerome Bettis era, they took ballet every single week at the Pittsburgh City Ballet, or Pittsburgh Ballet, whatever they called it.
One of the hardest styles.
Yeah, if not the hardest. Strengthening your body. You start at usually start at the bar, and you're strengthening your articulation of your feet, your calves, your legs, your whole body. And then you go out to the center, but then you're consistently jumping and moving, leaping through the air, turning through the air. And when you say this, also you got to think, the human body is not meant to do what dancers do. The rotation of body with your skull and your brain moving around to
turnout, like the positions for ballet.
Turning
like,
out, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And tucking your hips under so that your hips and shoulders are stacked, but then you're putting pressure on your back. There's so much that goes into that.
Effie, what's a turnout, if you can explain to my sister?
So there's different positions that you'll do these exercises in. And the first one's called first position. And basically, your legs are together, your heels are connected, and your toes are out. So it's kind of like you're opening your hips completely out. And from there, you bend your legs, you lift your leg up, you articulate through your feet, you stretch over, you bend back.
And
it's not normally how people walk. You don't see people walking around with their feet.
Turned out.
My back and my knees and my ankles hurt when you talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did mine. And not to mention, for the females in ballet, point. Like, it's not a natural thing to go on point on the tip of your toe in a wood box. I'm sorry.
Now, when you say wood box, can you explain to my sister what the wood box is you're talking about?
Yeah, so you have like a ballet shoe on, but on the tip of it where your five toes are is this wooden box. And so our feet were constantly bleeding. You tape them up and you have lamb's wool in it and to cushion as much as possible. But you're going from flat feet to all the way up on point, taking your entire weight on top of your toes.
Yeah.
And then partner work that comes along with that, your partner holding you up while you hold yourself up. And the phrase stay on your box is always a thing because it's that wooden box that's on the tip of your toes. Just very unnatural things that humans
Chase,
bodies do.
Chase, I'm guessing you're kind of happy that you're not on point.
Oh, yeah, never, ever. Yeah, that's a whole other element. But you know, that's just ballet. Then you could go into tap dancing. You're consistently moving. Your feet are consistently moving. You're jumping up and that's like straight cardio.
Instrument.
You're literally an instrument, and that's straight cardio. And the articulation on your feet and your ankles, you're constantly moving up and down. That is, I think, the biggest cardio, honestly, comes from that, in my opinion, because you don't stop moving the whole time. It's like a Zumba class, but times 10,
A Zumba class times 10. Now, that's intriguing. First off, Zumba has no existence in my life. I see that and go, yeah, no. But I've watched tap. I've seen you tap. My oldest daughter, Maddie, that was her thing. She loved tap.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would sit there and watch her and be amazed at how fast she had to move those feet and still make the sound so clear, and just wondered, that had to hurt, right? I mean, you're slamming your foot with metal on the bottom of shoes that could have been double or triple stacked, which is just extra layers on a shoe to make them harder and hit louder.
The intricacies and how articulate you have to be specifically with tap, and how you have to isolate everything, and if you're going 1,000 miles an hour, it seems like, with your feet, the brain power, but also trying to communicate that with your feet as well. It's shin splint city for sure after a while, you know, like it's absolutely insane. But that's completely different than ballet, and that's another effect on your body. But then you can do like contemporary, where you can flip, you can trick, you can twirl your body in ways that you're not supposed to, or even
kids are on their heads. Days.
They're like, spinning on their heads.
Doing stuff like it's crazy.
And then you just wake up and repeat.
Yeah,
that's the training.
That's the key, though. Stop. Yeah. Eat, drink water, Gatorade, hydrate.
Yep.
Go to sleep.
Yep.
And then, like Effie said, repeat for 6 to 7 days.
100%.
Yeah. All right. Wow. So, question for both of you: how do you prioritize, or how did you even back in the day prioritize your physical health as a dancer?
Personally, for me, I did not. I was playing all other sports at the same time too. I was playing baseball and football and basketball and all those things. And, you know, I would stretch maybe for like 10, 15 minutes, but then that was how I took care of it. Then I know.
Horrible. We can't say that out loud.
This is making your bones chill up. I wasn't too good at it, to be honest, as you know, Eli, and I have major regrets, because if I could go back in time and get the treatment that I should have gotten and taken care of myself the way I should have, I know I'd be in a different position today. Hopefully nobody makes those mistakes anymore.
Yeah, I wasn't like Chase growing up. I was very much a stickler about taking care of my body the best that I could. Fortunately, had a really good ballet teacher there that just taught us a lot about placement and alignment and keeping that when you're dancing, because it's easy to be wrapped up in a moment and forget all this technique that saves like your joints and body parts. If I think about it, yes, I would stretch. I would warm up my body before stretching, and what's the word I'm thinking of? Like stretching and strengthening. We'll leave it at that. But it wasn't until I had injured myself, like one time I hurt my knee, and it wasn't until that happened that I was icing and figuring out what I was putting into my body and like really zoning in on how to handle and fix it. So yes, I took better care of my body with warming up and thinking about my body, but proactive wise, it could have been more.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really be proactive till something happened. So, yeah.
No, fair enough. It's interesting to hear basically the yin and the yang. One did, one didn't. And, you know, Chase, I've known you for a long time, so I've worked with you through some of the aches and pains and ailments.
Yeah.
But if you think back to some of those injuries, and let's face it, dancers aren't like your typical athlete. Dancers are athletes too. Period. End of story. You give me a dancer any given day, and I tell this to the football players I work with, money in the bank, they're tougher. Period. End of story. Exclamation point. And I know I just made a lot of enemies by stating that, but I say it every year.
Yep.
At least a half dozen times a week during football season. And I go back to a story where I was assisting at LA Dance Magic, LADM. And they had asked me to take a look at a member on their dance company. I looked at the foot, gave him my opinion, said, I think it's broken. And we're talking about the foot. And to my surprise, she said, okay, thanks. Just want to know. And went on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is. You're both nodding your head. Yep. That's it. It was more that the dancer just wanted to know, okay, what am I dealing with? But willing to go back out on the stage. What is the difference mentally between a dancer and, say, the stereotypical athlete when it comes to injuries?
It's a huge difference. I can speak from an experience for me. I was training. I was like 12 or 13 years old, and I broke my wrist at the time. My mom was my dance teacher. So I broke my wrist. At the time, we didn't know. And whenever something like is off for me, I have a weird thing that my lips like start to quiver, and it's like I can't control it. So the second I did it, I looked at my mom and I was like, Mom, I think I broke my wrist. I'm like feeling really weird and I got chills and I'm like, this is weird. She goes, you're fine. You're good. Get back out there. You're good. And we ran the number a few more times and I'm on this wrist. I'm doing crap on it. And I'm like, at this point, you're like, you're just toughing through the pain because that's what you do. That's the show must go on. That's what they say. You know what I mean? You don't want anybody to
hear that all the time. Yeah.
Nobody's taking my spot. Nobody's, you know, you always want to be top dog. I feel like that's a big thing. That's like an unspoken thing in the dance industry, because the second you're out, people are going to be like, oh, they're prone to injury. We're not going to hire them. We're not going to book them. And that's a huge, huge thing, especially nowadays, too, because that's everything. So what if you don't have a swing on that show? What if you don't have a backup? You know what I mean? And the fact that you're going to have to make them do, they'll never hire you again. So I think it's kind of built in, that toughness and that mentality as you grow up through your studio, because it's like, oh, if I'm out, then that person's going to get the part, or that person's going to step in. So heck no, but absolutely not. And that's just something that you kind of grew up with, that mentality, because you want to be, you want to be it. You want to be the star. And you know how hard it is to make it as a dancer in the industry growing up. They educate you on that so early, on how hard it's going to be. So how tough you got to be. And then I played sports. So I saw other injuries, and my friends would, whether it be blisters from their cleats on their feet, and they're like, nah, I'm not doing this. Like, I'm in too much pain. I'm done. I'm out. Or straining a hamstring or whatever. I mean, I can't tell you on a torn hamstring. I did Derek Cuff's residency a few years ago on a torn hamstring, and the show just went on. Because you just got to do it.
You just got to adapt.
Elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to AACITest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown.
Just to tag on to that too, with the keeping going, we're also trained to make it look easy. Like, people don't want to watch someone dance and it's like, wow, it looks really difficult for them. You know what I'm saying? So like,
we're trained to
make it look effortless.
You want to make it look beautiful, effortless, like it's 100%. Simple. And it's probably the hardest thing that any athlete's ever done.
Literally.
Yep.
Literally. So that's also a mental thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know, Effie, you said there was a knee injury that you sustained, and that kind of changed your mind on what to do and how to do it. I know in Chase's case, we were dealing with a low back issue that was, once we knew what it was, pretty simple. It was just maintenance.
Yeah.
But I've seen a lot of dancers over the years, and I'm sure you have too, go in, get injured, keep going. Mm-hmm. How they go and find a healthcare provider and try and get some treatment, they get a little bit better, and then they come right back to it as hard as they could and make it worse. In the long run, that's not good. What could you have done different to make sure that window that we talked about earlier for your career broadened and stayed nice and big and long and could keep running for a while?
I think just being proactive about it and just knowing when to take a break. So with the knee thing, I was out for 2 months and I was like 15, I think, and I was just heartbroken, absolutely depressed that I wasn't dancing and missing out on competitions and like opportunities. And since it is such a short span in this industry as a dancer, every opportunity matters. So I really had to take in the fact that I could either take 2 months off and completely heal this and move on and be better, or I could keep pushing it and prolong this to who knows when.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took the 2 months off and at the same time grew more appreciation and felt more grateful that I got to dance afterwards because it was just taken away like that. I think just being proactive and knowing when to take the time off, but especially when you're younger, it seems like everything is so much bigger and yeah, like bigger than it seemed. Like the 2 months taking off seemed like a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
But
of course,
really, I'm so happy I did because my knee, I've never had issues with my knee since.
You brought up a term that is really huge in today's dance world, competition. Now, we have all lived through them.
Mm-hmm.
You may have competed. Obviously, you both competed. Lord knows I never have and never will because that's
too late.
Yeah.
It's never too late.
No, trust me. I'm not allowed to dance, according to my daughters. It's just something they don't want to see. But it is such an all-encompassing world. Once you're in, you're in. I mean, it's almost like being part of a mysterious underworld. Because if you don't know it's there, it's amazing how it takes over your life. And, you know, like you said, Effie, 8 hours a day of practice for that one weekend. You run a solo, maybe two. There's 2.5, 3 minutes each. Is that about right?
Yeah.
And then,
perfect.
And you've been practicing for months for that 2.5, 3 minutes. Then you're in a couple group numbers. And there, 2.5, maybe 4 minutes if it's a little longer.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, it's amazing the repetition that happens as you're practicing and the injuries that happen and the muscle strains, the joint sprains, the feet that are just, like you said earlier, tore up. What are some things that you would recommend other than seeing somebody like an athletic trainer? What are ways that you would recommend taking care of yourself as a 12, 13, 14 year old getting into this competitive world?
I think that there's a lot more there, especially nowadays compared to when we were growing up dancing. There's a lot of wonderful things to help take care of your body and maintenance your body, such as whether it be like a Theragun, that's been huge in the last decade, whether it be, you know, Hyper Ice released all these products from like the pressure bags, the Therma bags when you wrap your legs in, or I have a belt that goes on my back that's vibration and heat. There's a lot more tools now that they can use to take care of their bodies and just do it themselves. And honestly, it's so funny, but the biggest thing that helped, you know, my body recover when I was really dancing a lot was ice baths and heat, and go back and forth. It's really, really crucial because you can do it yourself if you really wanted to. You got to do the work though to prolong it and just do it yourself. So like I said, they have these tools now and these electronics that, you know, we didn't have when we were their ages, you know, 10, 11, 12, they have a lot more at their fingertips than we did. So it's pretty cool.
Now I'll be kind of honest on this one, and I'm going to circle back to Effie because she was nodding her head. Shooting Stars Dance Studio, shout out, where my daughters really grew up. Between that and their favorite LADM competition dance studio. Well, not really a dance studio, competition and education of dance. Jackie Slight and all those guys, they had it. They had an in-house athletic trainer. So you experienced this once or twice where we're at a competition and I get a call, hey, little help. Eli, we had somebody sprain their ankle. Eli, someone strained their back. Eli, in some cases we know really well, throughout the SI joint, can you fix it?
Mm-hmm.
And there was somebody there. We just happened to have all those tools back then. Like you said, they weren't as readily available to the public. The first time I brought a Theragun to a dance competition, boy, I had a lot of friends.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was a little louder than I would have liked it. But oh my God, everybody was asking, what's this? Where do I get it? How do I use it? Hyper Ice, all those. We're not sponsored yet by any of these devices, but you know, they're fantastic tools. We had portable stem machines. We had portable ice machines. And we basically turned our
hotel room for the weekend into a medical facility.
You're right.
Which would be nice if you could do that with your dance company.
Right.
Yeah.
Really anyway, smart.
What are some of the things that you wish you could have done to prevent those injuries back in the day? Or to even help? What were some of the things that you did to help?
I did have the privilege to be able to use a Theragun, and we had foam rollers. We would do a lot of
foam rollers.
We did a lot of strengthening and stretching, like, constantly. I think also a huge part, which I'm kind of now realizing, is diet, eating foods that are anti-inflammatory. That goes a long way. It really does.
No, that's very true.
I would definitely say that. I'd say icing. I would say just the precautionary measures with ingesting things that are good for your body, but then also the post-dancing, post-workout, whatever it may be, taking care of your body with the icing and the, I'd also say more sleep too.
And that's not possible on a competition weekend. I think sleep is usually deemed optional, correct?
Yes, it is. It's optional or no choice.
Definitely.
No choice there. But yeah, that's what I would say to my 12-year-old self.
So here's a question for both of you. How important is it now, let alone would it have been back then, for you to communicate with the healthcare provider to further your dance career? Or even what could you have done to communicate better when you needed help?
I think just saying that I need help, truly. I think for me personally, I thought I could do a lot of it myself, or I would be like, I don't want to say anything in case I get taken out of a competition, or in case it's looked at as more, let me give it more time. Speaking up and actually being truthful with myself and healthcare providers about what's going on with my body. Fear of missing out on a competition is very real at a young age, but also at the end of the day, your body's more important.
Yeah, I think to go off of that, being vocal is the biggest key, because nobody's going to know what you need or what you want unless you say it, unless you step up and speak up. But another thing too, like she said, it's so hard because you feel so, you know, you don't want to be taken out. And the competition to kids, and when you're growing up, we were in those shoes and it was like life or death. This was the main event. Every competition, it was like, it's on. You work so hard, you put all these hours in, this is it. And it's kind of like a bloodbath, I think. You had that mindset that it's such a huge deal. And now if you look back and in the shoes that, you know, we're in now, it's, you're grateful for those moments because it made you strive to be better and be great. For me, these kids think it's life or death, these competitions. And the biggest thing is you do all this training and you feel like you get to these events, you have to give it that extra 110% or that extra 120% because this is what you did. This is what you put all the hours in for. But the real important factor is, if that's your mindset when you get to competition, what's your mindset when you're in the studio every week, right? How are you going to become great? That's how you're going to become great. You take that mindset, you apply it daily. Anyways, that's just a random tangent that I'd like to share for the kids and everything. Like Effie said, I think just being vocal whenever you're really hurting or in pain, speak up, because these competitions aren't the end game. The end game is your career. The end game is afterwards. And I think we get a lot of kids get caught up in thinking that competition is everything. And really what's everything is your longevity and prolonging your career by being vocal and stepping up and letting people know when you're in pain or you're injured.
I think that's really well said, actually. Your tangent's fantastic, because I remember watching it and seeing it, and everybody did think, like you say, it was a bloodbath. You were out there to do or die, every other cliche you can think of. And with that, people were less prone to being an advocate for themselves and taking care of themselves. A lot of the time, I would see something and mention, hey, that individual looks like they're limping. That individual looks like they're guarding, protecting, doing something.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, yeah, it's okay. The show must go on. Keep going. They forget they're kids. They're teens.
Right.
They're preteens. They're younger than that. but it right. is a end game mentality. And what you said, is this the end game?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Competition is not the end game.
It is a game.
It is a game, but it's not the end.
It shouldn't be. There are so many other avenues, whether you're lucky enough, like the two of you, to become professionals in the industry, or if it's taking what you learned, determination, the grit, just the passion that you learned for dance into a different profession. One thing I can really say watching my daughters grow up in dance, boy, they're disciplined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Effie's Effie, please, the way you said that, discipline. Yeah,
I just dance, you gotta be disciplined if you want to succeed truly. Disciplined, and not only like know your steps, be good at what you do, but also just with your mind, like
in your body,
mental discipline of not giving up, and you know,
not giving up, but also like to tap into like taking care of yourself, disciplined in the fact of knowing when you need to stop, knowing when you need to take a second and take care of yourself. And your body is your instrument. Your body is your career in this lane, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so important. You're investing in your career every time you take care of yourself. You're investing for your future. I think that's a good way, and that's a good thing to think about.
Mm-hmm. Definitely agree with that one.
I like that statement, investing in your career and your future just mm-hmm. by investing in yourself.
That's really? It.
What, in your opinions, what improvements or support systems could enhance kind of the overall health and well-being of a dancer within a dance community?
I think as a kid at a studio, a dance studio, studio owners, teachers, whatever it may be at the facility or company, having that be important, having taking care of your body be important, having maybe instead of it being a dance class, maybe okay, we're going to learn a way to take care of our body or when to speak up, or maybe even like a check-in. How are you feeling this week? What's hurting this week? You know, just to open that conversation and make it important to communicate about how your body's doing and open that window for young kids.
Yeah, I think in the curriculum at dance studios to add in injury prevention, even like an anatomy-based class, even if it's for like 30 minutes or something like that, so kids can start to learn how everything works with the human body. My mom was that was very important to her.
She was a proponent.
She was an advocate for the human anatomy, the body, and everybody reading these books in ballet class. Once a week, we were studying anatomy in our classes to know how everything was articulating and working and what meant what. And she was a big advocate for that. So I was lucky because we had that. I think it's very important to add that to the curriculum, injury prevention. I think that's the best way to put it. But not only at, you know, your dance studios, your local dance studios, there's hundreds of thousands across the world, adding that into the curriculum, but then also for these conventions too, having that 45-hour slot for just pure injury prevention, just classes and techniques and things to teach these studios so they can take back home to better their children.
Shout out to Jackie Slight on that one. When my daughters were involved with their company, the dance company, as you were, there was several years where she and I sat down and created, we had two different courses that we would teach. One was dancers or athletes too, which is an understatement. And then another one that I like just calling dancers 101. And we taught it to the parents and we taught it to the studio reps that wanted to come in, how to help take care of your kids. And I think it was such a big step for a competition weekend owner to go, it's more important. Let's invest a couple hours every weekend to educate these people to make sure their kids are healthy and safe so that later in life, they're not as injured. The thought of the anatomy course that you talk about, I know my daughter did one at Chapman University, Anatomy of Dance.
Yeah.
Just amazing course. And you have such control of the body as a dancer. Right. Why not learn the anatomy? Why not become better educated, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It helps immensely. So
very nice. Very, very nice. We talked a little bit about nutrition. We've talked a little bit about competitions, improvements. If you could change one thing, and we're going to start with Effie. If you could change one thing, what would that one thing be?
Change one thing, like in the dance industry or just in general or with
any of the above, your choice.
It's a good question. If I could change one thing, let's say for me when I was younger, competing. Oof, actually.
Want me to restate the question, make it easier?
Yep.
Sure. I think I might have an answer, but say the question again. But I think I have my answer.
If you could change one thing that you think in the long run would improve something that needs to be improved, what would that one thing be?
I think conventions, how do I put this? Dancing on concrete, because it's concrete in these ballrooms.
Oh yes, that's right. We touched on it, but we didn't really talk about it. Which is a big problem for feet, knees, back. Yeah, you're right.
Constantly. And honestly, it seems small, but it really is big.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing 7 classes a day. Let's say each class is 45 minutes to an hour. That's about 7 hours of dancing on concrete. And we're not just dancing on concrete. We are fighting for scholarships. We are competing. We are going our hardest in every way, mentally,
yep,
performing. That it's so terrible. It's so terrible. And if there was a possibility to make the floors okay for our joints and muscles and dancing so vigorously for that long.
A spring floor, some support. Yeah.
Something. Maybe I think that's what I would have loved to change, because I got injured so much and it was random things that never happened until I would go dance on concrete for hours.
You could always tell a difference. And that's, let me pause, rewind a little bit. That is such a great comment. I don't know how many times we would compete at a convention center. And like you said, concrete. And the only thing over it was some inexpensive carpet.
Parquet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was not the best stuff, but it was there because it was a convention center. Now, with that came more foot injuries, more ankle injuries, more knee injuries, more low back strains. And we're not talking adults. We're talking kids.
Yes.
So that's contrasted with those smaller competitions not smaller competitions, but competitions only, where they competed in a theater. So they had, you know, more give, maybe a spring Marley. Floor, parquet, Marley, sorry. Yes.
Marley, yeah.
Yeah. What a difference it would be that following Monday or Tuesday after the event, just so fewer injuries.
For sure.
Right.
For sure. So yeah, I stand by that answer.
And you go into first position also, right? By that answer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
What about you, Chase? What's something that you would, if you could, change in the industry?
I think with the competition convention circuit, Effie pretty much nailed it right on the head with just the support of the floors that we would dance on and everything. But that, yeah, like she said, I mean, I've been pondering here and thinking about it. I don't know. I think for me, something that I would have liked to have changed, you know, growing up. That's tough, Eli. I can't give you an answer right now.
No problem. I think you gave me an answer earlier, actually. Sorry.
Yeah.
If I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that. Access to somebody at a convention that can help for that individual that needs help.
That's where my brain went originally, and I was like, well, I already said that, so I don't really know.
But you know what? That is so true. I can't tell you how many competitions I went to where there was nobody, and you would see somebody backstage and they were injured. There's no doubt about it. It wasn't anybody with our competition team or with our families. And at that point, they dial 911, they get the EMT, and they take them to the hospital. And you don't know what kind of care you're going to get. They're going to look, is it broken? Is it sprained? Is it torn? Here's some ice. Here's some splints. Here's a crutch or two. You're gone. They're not really getting care. They're just triaging. Boom, you're done. I think Jackie Slight had it right. Having somebody there to educate at the competition. I think having somebody to help the teams just in case it's needed. I think that's the way to go. I believe some of these bigger conventions, it's not like they're doing this for free.
Right.
They're making some money. Why not invest in their future and bring somebody on board to be with them, to care and educate for those individuals that need the care over the weekend, but then to educate.
Yep.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Be great.
I'll take that. That's good. I like that. So we've been going for almost an hour now, and I appreciate you guys' time. I don't want to take too much of it. I know we will see you probably soon in my sports medicine clinic. Working on something again, right?
Absolutely.
Where are you guys today, actually? Is that New York you're in?
Miami.
Miami. It was gorgeous.
Yeah. It was. And now it's just lightning and thunder outside. It's pretty crazy.
That's not as fun. No, I wouldn't dig that. No. Yeah. I got stuck on the tarmac in Florida for, I think, an hour and a half 1 year because of lightning storm. No fun. Oh, no fun.
Goodness.
Awful.
Yep. Awful. But with that, I'm going to let you guys go, get on to your day, and have a fun and wonderful day together. Enjoy when the lightning and everything goes away. Thank you for being on Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More. And hopefully in the future, we'll talk again.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later, guys. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, Eli.
Bye.
You
bet.
Bye-bye. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Halleck. It is produced by Gabriel Halleck. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is a production of Halleck Consulting, LLC.